Bible, and I'm done. No, just kidding. To start off, I'm just going to pray kind of just to calm my nerves just a little bit and also just to kind of set the stage. So let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you are a God that loves us, that you are a God who cares, that you want us to be free from sin one day. And Lord, I thank you for the gift that you gave in your Son, and I thank you for the word that you have brought to us. I pray that you be with me today as I preach your word. In your name, amen. So to start off, I want to tell you a bit of a story about a blacksmith back in the medieval times. This blacksmith was known for one thing, and that was making chains. In fact, he had a claim to fame that he could break any chain that any other smith would bring to him, but his own chain no one else could break because he built the best chain out there. So day after day, other smiths would bring their chains, and day after day, this smith would break those chains. He would find the flaw and easily break them. After a while, one of the nobles in the kingdom found out about this smith, and thinking that he had the best blacksmith in his armada, he decided to send his blacksmith with his chain over to the other blacksmith. And so they came together, and the noble's blacksmith presented his chain, and almost instantly, the blacksmith looked at it and just snapped it like nothing. And so the noble's blacksmith said, well, there's no way your chain is unbreakable. And so he asked for the chain, and he grabbed it, and he looked and saw that there was this beautiful symbol on it and tried to break it. And the more he tried, the more he failed. The noble found out about this, and being a little mad that his blacksmith lost, he decided to arrest the blacksmith. And so he sent out his guards, they grabbed the blacksmith, and they started bringing him in. And as the blacksmith was being brought in into the dungeon, he was smiling the entire way, going, it doesn't matter, I'm going to break these chains, I'm going to get out. And so they brought him in, they put him in the dungeon, they chained him up, and then the guards left. And still smiling, he looks at the chain and notices his symbol on the chain. Sin is a lot like that in our lives. We look at other people's sin and we say, well, I don't deal with that. That's so easy for me to break. That's so easy for me to just turn away from. I don't deal with that. But it's those sins that we make ourselves, the ones that keep coming back time and time again, those are the ones that bind us and that hold us back. And today, I want to give you an acronym as to how we can deal with those repetitive sins, those ones that we just can't deal with. Now, I'm kind of stealing this sermon a little bit from John Piper. I've taken his basic idea and kind of changed it a little bit, but John Piper was the one who originally came up with this acronym, and the acronym is APTAT, APTAT, and that stands for Admit, Pray, Trust, Act, and Thank. Now, each one of those alone could be a sermon in and of itself, but I'm going to try to compress them all and get them all into this sermon. But it's a lot. So first, A, admit. The first thing that you need to do is admit that you have a problem. When coming to your sin, this sin that keeps coming up, normally everybody has one that comes into their mind right away. When I say that sin that just keeps coming back, everybody has that sin. And it's hard to deal with. It's almost impossible to deal with. And so you have to say, you know what? I have a problem with this sin. I have a problem, and I can't deal with it. You have to admit you have a problem, but the other side of admit is you have to admit that we can do nothing without God. Admit is two-sided. Admit you have a problem, but admit that you can't do anything without God. AA members, one of the most famous sayings to come out of AA is that the first step is admitting that you have a problem. Then you can move into recovery. And it's the same with sin. Once you've admitted that you have a problem, and once you've admitted that you can't personally deal with it yourself, you can start moving forward. And realizing that we can't do anything without God, you can look at verses like John 15, verse 5 that says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, but without me, you can do nothing. We have to realize that we are part of the vine. And as much as we would love to deal with sin ourselves, it's impossible without God. And so our main verses that we're going to look at is in Romans chapter 7. If you want to turn there with me, we're going to be reading from 14 just to 18 today. And we're going to see how Paul dealt with sin in his life and how it fits with this idea of aptat. So, A, admit. In Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 18, he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I myself am worldly, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I don't understand. What I want to do, that I don't practice. But what I hate, that is what I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree that the law is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present within me, but how to perform what is good I cannot find." And then he repeats that point just to get his point across, and he says once again, "I don't understand why I do evil. The good that I want to do, I cannot do." Paul recognized that in and of himself, he could not overcome sin. And he admitted to the Roman church in this letter that he suffered from sin. He had a problem with it. And no matter how much he tried, he could not overcome it. So once you admit that you have a problem, you move to P, pray. Pray for help. And I cannot understate the importance of this step, even though it's one of the shortest steps that I'm going to talk about today. It is so important. After you've admitted that you have a problem, that you can't deal with it yourself, the first thing that your mind should go to is, who can help? And that's God. Go to God and say, "God, I need your help with this sin. I need your help to break free from this sin that just keeps coming back again and again. And again." And Paul recognized this. In Romans 7, verse 25, he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." And this is an answer to his question, "Who will deliver me from this body of death?" He recognizes that it's Jesus who can do it. And just a few verses later, in Romans 8, verse 26, he says, "The Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray or how we should pray, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered." In those times where we are broken down, we realize that the sin keeps coming back. We've admitted that we have a problem. We have admitted that God is the only one who can deal with it. Going to God is the first step. And we should just say what is on our hearts. It's not hard to pray. It's as easy as saying, "God, I'm dealing with this sin. Please help." So once you've admitted and once you've prayed, the next step is a very specific wording: trust in a specific blood-bought promise. Trust in a specific blood-bought promise. Now, these promises are littered throughout the Bible, and it's quite amazing because almost every sin that is talked about in the Bible has a promise related to it somewhere else in the Bible. These promises can be as big and as broad as 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 5. 1 Timothy 2, verses 3 to 5. That says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for us all to be testified in due time." The promise there is saying that we have freedom through Jesus, and Jesus is our mediator. And for those sins that we can't specifically put one verse on or one promise on, we can take that promise and say, it is still covered by Jesus. But there's also specific promises like Ezekiel 11, 19 through 20 that says, one second while I find it. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. This promise specifically talks about the sin of disbelief. And if we trust this promise, we can say, yeah, if I go to God, he can take that heart of stone from within me and make it a heart of flesh. The second part of that trust, though, find the specific promise, but we have to realize that it is blood bought, that Jesus came, that he gave his life as a ransom. He bought us with his blood. And every promise that is in Scripture is sealed with that promise. And so when we go to Scripture and we find these promises, we can trust that every single one of them is sealed with Jesus' blood. And we can trust that God will follow through. It is so amazing that we have these promises and that we have the blood of Jesus. So once we've admitted that we have a problem, once we've prayed to God for help, once we've trusted in that specific blood-bought promise, we come to the hardest part, the part where we have to take action. We have to act. This is where we must fight that desire that is inside of us to keep sinning. And I'm going to quote the president of the Center Bay campus right now. He would consistently say, and it's something that has been drilled into my head, that life is a battle of desires. The desire of the flesh against the desire of what God wants for our life. And a battle is probably the best term that can be used for what is going to happen when you start to fight against that sin in your life. Philippians 2, verses 12 to 13 say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. We should realize that we need to approach this with fear and trembling. It is not going to be easy. In fact, it's probably going to be one of the hardest things you do when you start to try to deal with this sin that is in your life. But we also have to recognize that second part of Philippians where it says, it is God who does it. We have to recognize and go back to A and say, I cannot do this alone. As much as this is your part in APTAT where you are acting, you cannot do it alone. So just as a bit of an example of how to act, let's look at Matthew 5. In Matthew 5, verses 29 and 30, Jesus is talking to this group of people about how to deal with some of the sins. Just before this, he talks about anger, and he gives this little bit of a different viewpoint on anger, saying, even if you are angry at your brother and you call them a name, it's similar to murder. And then just after that, he starts talking about lust and the promises with lust, or the problems with lust. And his way of dealing with it is interesting. He says, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, I'm not telling you to pluck out your eye or cut off your hand if you're dealing with lust, but the idea is take radical action. A really good image of this is the movie Fireproof. In the movie Fireproof, he is dealing with this addiction to porn, and he comes back to it time and time again, and he can't figure out why he can't defeat this. And in one scene, this ad pops up, and he starts to think about whether he wants to do it and why it's so hard. And he goes to the book that his father had given him, and in the book it says, deal with these addictions. Don't let them take over. Very similar to what Matthew 5, 29 says. And so what does he do? He goes over to the computer, rips it out of the wall, brings it outside, takes a bat, and before taking a swing says, all right, Lord, no more addictions, and just goes to town on that computer and destroys it. He realized that the computer was the source of his sin, and so his way of acting upon that and getting rid of it in his life was destroying the source. And again, I'm not telling you to destroy your computer, that they're expensive. There are ways of of preventing it, though. What I am saying is to take action. For every sin, there is an opposite direction away from that sin. And what I'm saying is when you see that sin, when you recognize what direction you're going in, when you are facing that sin, turn the other direction and run. Run the other direction with God's help, with God by your side. Run away from that sin. So once you have admitted that you have a problem, that you cannot do it alone, once you've prayed to God for help, once you've trusted in that specific blood-bought promise that is in the scriptures, once you have acted and you've started running away, the last part, one of the easiest, is to thank God for what he has done in your life. Psalm 106, verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercies endure forever." Whether you have just moved the slightest bit away from that sin that keeps coming up, or whether you have ran the other direction and it is so far behind you that it will never affect you again, you should thank God for what he has done. Thank God for the gifts that he has given you. Thank God for pastors like Pastor James who preach from the word every day and take what is in here and preach it to you. Thank God for each and everything in your life. But when it comes to APTAP, most importantly, thank God for his son who came and died so that all of your sins are covered, so that even if you've just moved the slightest bit, it is still covered. Even if you haven't moved at all, it is still covered by the blood of Jesus. We should thank him each and every time that you realize that you are in sin, that God has covered that. But we shouldn't let that sin keep going. We should admit that we have a problem. We should pray to God for help. We should trust in that specific blood-bought promise. We should act and run as fast as we can away from that sin. And we should thank God for it. I'm going to pray. God, I thank you so much that your word is filled with promises that we can come to. I thank you that you are so powerful that you sent your son to cover our sins. And Lord, as we go from here today, I pray that you would be with us. You would remind us of these sins so that we can admit them. That you would be there to hear us when we cry out to you. Help us as we try to find those promises that you have left for us. And Lord, most of all, help us as we try to run away from those sins. Thank you, God. In your name, amen.
We invite you to stand with us for our closing song.